call this first monthly regular meeting of the Port of Port Townsend for Wednesday, November the 9th, to order. Stand for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, so everyone's seen the consent agenda. Do I have a motion to approve it?
Yeah.
I second that. All in favor? Aye. Okay, so public comments not related to the agenda.
Yes.
Yes, actually, I've received a letter. My name's Elizabeth Becker. I've received a letter from a local resident, Jefferson County resident, Karen Sullivan. She asked me to read this. She is on her way to Standing Rock to do some work there. Is this your lead?
And what was her name?
Karen Sullivan.
Okay.
And I will give the copy to Sam. Since I'm not having the best morning, I'm going to ask Jack Becker to do the honors of reading this. A little bit lengthy, but.
So, from Karen Sullivan, Jefferson County resident, subject strategic plan budget, November 9th, 16, dear commissioners. And executive director Givney. First, congratulations to the commissioners on the hiring of Sam Givney. The positive difference she is making is palpable. Second.
What?
Palpable.
Palpable.
Okay.
Polysyllable word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Second, I understand that the commissioners may be considering changing the port strategic plan, possibly even discarding it entirely without consulting with the community. In my opinion, this would be a step backward. A large number of your constituents also share this concern. The strategic plan was carefully hammered out over months of work by an 18-person committee representing multiple sectors of local public interest in Jefferson County. It was an amazing effort because it was, and still is, the product of good faith negotiations, and it articulated the directions that everyone, including the Port Administration, agreed the port should take, not just for 5 years, but for at least 20. What makes this plan so remarkable is that it was done during a time of extremely low trust and high conflict between the former Port Administration and its constituent groups. So in addition to representing a mutual investment in the future, it is actually a kind of covenant of trust. I was one of the 18 people on that committee, and so was Steve Tucker. Everyone also agreed that it would be reasonable to update the strategic plan periodically because the intent was for it to be a living document. But no one would have agreed that it should be unilaterally rewritten or discarded. Just about every word in that plan was carefully negotiated. Third, the word local in the strategic plan was meant to mean the entire county, not just Port Townsend. Port's investment in the Hertbeck-Quilcene Marina infrastructure is just one example of its countywide mission. Access to the water, along with proactive maintenance of existing infrastructure for the continuation of traditional, recreational, and cultural maritime and aviation activities throughout Jefferson County, is sensible and should therefore continue to be a port priority. Investment in anything that does not directly support this mission priority should not be considered. Fourth, over-reliance on one stream of income to subsidize others has in the past created friction among constituent groups and with the Port Administration itself. Many constituents' perceptions are that overextension of fiscal obligations by the previous administration contributed to the current financial squeeze. This is illustrated by the port's dual expenditures on administrative offices, first at Point Hudson, followed soon after by the new construction at Boathaven, which by itself cost $2.5 million. Why the port did not prioritize repair of its two crumbling breakwaters before committing to building new administrative offices has baffled and angered stakeholders. The new offices have the added irony of not helping the parking situation, for which the port is now considering adding meters. A further irony is the apparent expectation by the city and the county that the port's bathrooms will serve the area's homeless, but without any financial support from either agency to accomplish that. Whether anyone agrees or disagrees with this service, lack of funding for such use contributes to the port's problems. The port is seeking millions of dollars for critical infrastructure repair that, if not attended to, will cause untold damage. But the port's bonding capacity is nearly maxed out. No matter how great the administrative offices may be, those millions that were spent on them have come back to haunt us. Therefore, I hope the port's budget and its ongoing discussions with the public and with other agencies will reflect the port's attempts to remedy these problems and seek a better balance that does not unfairly rely on any one income stream over the others. Any rate increases should be reasonable and equitable for all stakeholders. Finally, without consideration and input from the community, you were elected and hired to serve. Changing or discarding the strategic plan would violate their trust. It would cause confusion, concern, and possibly bad feelings in many constituents. The community is proud of what we accomplished, and we don't want to go backward. With the hiring of Ms. Givney, the optics of the port turned a big corner toward trust, transparency, and accountability, and improvements have been noticeable. So if you find that the strategic plan needs updating to better reflect evolving port priorities, I urge you as public servants to make it an interactive, accessible, and methodical public process. Thank you for listening and for your service to the community. Sincerely, Karen Soul.
Sue. Thank you, Jack. Are there any other public comments?
Quick question. Yeah. I just came in. Are there going to be other public comments, or is this all the public comment time?
This is a public comments not related to the agenda. Do you have the agenda? Because there's not much on it. So the other items on the agenda are commission retreats and port financial highlights. And so if you want to comment on those items, there'll be time when we bring those up. But if you want to comment on something else that's not those things, now would be the time.
Okay, so budget stuff.
Budget stuff now.
Budget stuff now. Okay. Well, I just wanted to make a comment related to a comment that was made at the last meeting. And this is the issue of rates one more time. And my goal here isn't to argue for low rates or high rates, but just to make a point of interest, and that is to set the background a little. Back in 1975, I for some reason got a degree in economics, and I never used that degree. I went on and learned other things, and had a career in the computer field. But a few of those brain cells are still working. So when Melissa at the last meeting, I think it was Melissa, her name. Melinda, talked about raising the rates in the marina until the waiting list was gone, and she called that the market rate. And I thought to myself, market rate, that's a good thing. I like capitalism and, you know, free markets, and that would be okay. But then the wheels got turning, and I got thinking that for there to be a market rate, there has to be a free market. There has to be multiple sellers and multiple buyers. So is that a market rate? Here at the port, we have one seller and multiple buyers. We don't have a free market. So what we would have if the rates were raised until the waiting list was gone would be what was called in economics the monopoly price. Hence, the port has a monopoly. That's what we have. It wouldn't be a free market. Okay, you got to have a market. You got to have multiple sellers and multiple buyers. So I just want to make that clear. We're not talking about a free market here. We're talking about the port having a monopoly, and you certainly have the power to raise the rates till the waiting list is gone. But I think that would be really very contrary to the mission of the port. I honestly don't think you guys are seriously thinking about doing that. But I hope as you think about rates in general that I just want to make clear that raising rates, as she suggested, would not be a market rate. It would really be a monopoly rate. It would really be contrary to the mission of the port to provide access to the waterfront and the marina for the citizens of Jefferson County. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Any other public comments not related to the agenda? Gordon?
I kind of feel with Jim a little bit when we say market rate, somebody better define the term market rate. I don't think it's been defined. We throw terms out in meetings like this as if we all know what they mean. And I think it would be useful that if everyone sitting up there had a definition of what market rate was, that was similar to, not exactly precisely the same, similar to the definition held by people who are paying the rates. So defining terms is really a useful tool, and I haven't seen that done here at the port. The other two are just some minor issues. I'm kind of one of the biggest fans here of the new staff. And so just a word, I'm in the yard every day and I listen to what people are saying. So to the staff, I'll tell you, you better answer your emails. If somebody sends you an email and you don't answer it, their feeling is you don't care. And that's an old feeling that resurrects bad feelings that we just got out of. We got a got out of jail free card here with the new staff. And I'm telling you, if you don't answer emails, which is, by the way, a common courtesy, it's a professional courtesy. It used to be when we sent letters, if you got a letter, you had to answer it. But it, maybe it's changed. The other thing is, I don't know how we get at this, or at least I have my own ideas, but all the liveaboards here and all the people who pay rent, we have access to facilities. And when we don't have access to the facilities that we pay for, it's annoying. And I'm talking about, went up to the laundromat to do laundry, and guess what? The code doesn't work. And it's not 11 o'clock at night, it's not past curfew, it's the freaking code doesn't work. And so you're sitting there looking at this and wondering, hey, this is my laundromat. Why can't I use it? Or I talked with Brad about keeping the back door open so people could dump their porta potty. It's open only if you ask Linda to open it. And if Linda isn't there, you don't get access. So it's just these little simple things that Lord knows everyone on this staff is swamped with getting at stuff that hasn't been gotten at. So these are small reminders that, hey, we still have a port that has to be responsive to the residents. And just a piece that might be helpful, if you guys do go forward with some rate increase. I was talking with Eric, and we all know that capital maintenance has been neglected. It's kind of been part of the port for a long time. And we all know when we talk about depreciation of assets that most of these assets that we use have lived past their life at least once, if not twice. In the military, we would say it's like firing each round twice. You know, we've extended them financially. And the caution here is if you're going to increase the rates, whatever it is, tell all of us, we intend to use this rate increase to fix this. By the way, you didn't know it was broken, but we're going to fix it. And we could go down the list of capital assets, and I'm sure there's no shortage of, projects claiming to be first place. But again, it goes back, keep us informed. Tell us what you're going to do so that we don't react, so that we don't get meetings that are, where people are, trying to create train wrecks. We don't have time for train wrecks. This is an old port, and the facilities are old. And during the last couple of blows, people came up to me and said, "Well, I'm doubling my lines." And I said, "Oh, really?" And I said, "Well, the load on the line is only as strong as the cleat on the dock. Have you checked your cleats lately? Because some of those cleats are bedded in rotten wood." And I know that there's a plan to work on Sea Dock, and but the logic here is kind of unfathomable. So just a few words, wanting to be supportive, not critical, and trying to help us as a group figure out new ways forward that bring us to these meetings kind of ready to have a dialogue, a joint dialogue, not them versus us or us versus them. Kind of. Just a few words. Thank you for listening.
Can I make one comment regarding the laundry room? There's been vandalism on the keypad, and Lock and Safe has had to come out there over and over fix that. Pete Parrish reported it in last night's security log that he called Terry's Lock and Safe, and I also called this morning just to make sure that he's going to come out and fix that.
Okay. But yeah, and I know I walk around the port at night, not because I'm worried about Pete Parrish getting knocked on the head. I happen to use this port, and I'm through it. And so I see strange guys, and I get it. But it's just frustrating, Maybe there's a different solution that we haven't thought of yet. Just a few words. Thanks.
Okay, any other public comments?
I guess I do have.
Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Takaki, and I have a boat. I've had a boat here for 20 years. And I have a cafe, the Marina Cafe, right here, and I just wanted to kind of go off on what Gordon was saying, that I think communication is the key to all of it, of all of us working together down here. And like on a, just a side note, with the parking meters, I think all the businesses should be represented, and I would hope that they would, about what we think about that kind of stuff when we all have businesses down here on land also. And I also just wanted to open the cafe that maybe if you wanted to, you're more than welcome. We have a lot of the workers that eat at the cafe, and there's coffee break, and I'm not really sure why they don't come. But my cafe was always, it's always open if you ever wanted to do anything to meet the groups that are down here every day and for some reason don't want to come to the meeting and speak, that you are, everybody was welcome, and I'm hoping we can all work together so that nobody's feelings get hurt or nobody's angry. I know that sounds like utopia, but I think it's possible that if everyone knew what was going on and felt like at least they were heard, maybe it would be an easier transition into whether it's big rate hikes or leases being raised or whatnot. So I just wanted to open that service up to you. Thank you.
Thanks, Jennifer.
And coffee breaks are 10 o'clock.
And coffee breaks are 10 o'clock. And lunch is 12.
And green muffins.
And I didn't put that out there, but.
And scones. Yeah. Any other public comments? Okay. That was a few. So we have no second reading items and no first reading items and no potential immediate action items. So we're going directly into Other business, commission retreats.
Yes, so I wanted to get on the calendar that we are proposing a two-day commissioner retreat for the 4th and the 5th of January, and wanted to make sure that the commission is in concurrence with that on those dates, and so that we can schedule that. We will be looking for an appropriate venue for it. I have spoken with a facilitator, and we are going to be working on blocking out agendas for that, and we'll bring that back into workshop or some type of discussion item here, probably not the next meeting because that's the budget one, but perhaps early in December. And at that, I do want to address a couple things. Just we had discussed about kind of three main areas of discussion and work these meetings in, the first being kind of governance model and establishing roles and responsibilities, and just going over, you know, who's doing what and how we are operationalizing the direction of the commission and those things that inform our organization, such as the strategic plan, and how we translate those into work plans. The facilitator that I'm looking at is particularly skilled at looking at how do you take what the work that you are proposing, how that meshes up with the strategic guidance of your organization, how do you measure that, and then how do you report that back out to both the commission and the public. So with that, then the next kind of major topic is, and I'll just speak to the letter, is not a rewrite or of any kind of a strategic plan, but really looking at how do we mesh the work plan with the strategic plan. So I'm not recommending in any shape that we try to change the strategic plan. I think that is a body of work that will require some time and attention on this organization's part, but likely not 2017. I think we have a pretty full work plan. So at this point, I'd like to just take our existing strategic plan, take our work plan, make sure the two are meshing well together, and then coming up with the metrics of how we're gonna report back out to the public and the commission. The third is to then really look at our capital plan and ongoing funding strategies for that. So as you know, the capital plan that we put forth is incomplete at best, and it was really meant to demonstrate the capacity of the organization, and yet our needs still remain great. And so we'd like to have time, and then as we move forward, how do we really make that capital plan more robust, and looking to where we have time to actually set up the funding strategies and bring them into reality. So those are three main areas that I'm looking at. We will, I'll bring again back a blocked out agenda at probably first meeting in December, and we'll discuss with you individually as we go along as well. So if you can just confirm that the 4th and the 5th work well, and I believe that Chairman Hanke, who is absent today, has already confirmed that he's available for that.
And I'll make it work.
Yep.
Great.
So in the retreats, we're going to have the things you just referred to. One of those things is going to be melding the strategic plan with our work plan, right? Because if you remember, if you read the plan, I remember very clearly one of the elements in the strategic plan is that it get reevaluated every 5 years. Mm-hmm. And that would have been 2016. Mm-hmm. So we need to look at a mechanism to do that. And I'm totally convinced that we need to have it be a public process, and we also need to do it, you know, we need to do it sooner than later. In other words, mm-hmm. It's easy to let things just kick them down the road, mm-hmm. and I think that we need to maybe discuss what that public process should look like.
Absolutely, sure.
And figure out when we can do that, because like I said, the times are a lot different now than when we drafted that plan in the depths of the recession. So there's a lot of different things. Well, our capital plan has just been made, which wasn't made then. So there's a lot of things we need to take a look at on our strategic plan.
Yes, and we can, I think that is a necessary conversation, and looking to block out our calendar of work, really for the next year, but really start looking at, you know, 3 to 5 year blocks. And so I think that's a necessary and an appropriate conversation to have of, you know, what are we using for now? How are we meshing our work plan? How are we going to measure that? And then when are we going to update, and what does that process look like?
Okay. Any other discussion on that?
Just to clarify, is this a topic that you're going to do at your retreat?
Yes.
Right. Then after the retreat, then we'll bring it to a workshop where we have a chance to back and forth with everybody in the office. So at the retreats, of course, there's no back and forth, but the workshop resulting from the retreat, there'll be plenty of time to discuss
that. That workshop, you said the 4th and 5th?
Correct.
January.
The retreat.
Retreat.
Yes. I'm sorry, the retreat, yeah. Not the workshop.
Okay,
going on to B, Port Financial Highlights, year to date, September 2016.
So, what you have in your package is our year to date information for September of this year. Revenues are looking good. We're about 5% ahead of budget. Or 3% ahead of budget, 5% over 15. And then our expenditures are a little bit less than budget. We knew they were going to be higher, primarily because of the third salary survey station. But like I said, we're still below budget by a few percentage points. So we're actually looking pretty good, I think. We're almost about $400,000 year-to-date in WIP costs for the different projects that have been paid for this year. And then we've paid about a little over a third of our principal debt service for the year.
So just so that everyone understands, work in progress is what WIP costs are.
So construction in progress that's used. And that is not shown on the operating statement as far as costs. Our final debt service for the year is going to be a little over $300,000. And then our cash balances.
When you said our final debt service for the year is going to be?
A little over $300,000.
That we'll have to come up with at the end of the year?
Then our cash balance is about $2.7 million, which includes about $950 in reserves. So I'm working on getting the cash balance, a monthly report that shows our cash balance, among other things. Larry, do you have any questions about the report?
I'm not about the report. I just am wondering if any new ideas in regards to what we're going to do with the declining small yard occupancy.
I'll start, and then I'll let Greg. He was planning on discussing some of the work that he's doing currently. What we were planning on for our work plan for next year, and we've already embarked upon this, is to really do some taking a step back and looking at our properties in general, and doing some master planning for the yard. And that includes, at this point, we are looking to get some base mapping so we can have just some basic where plan metrics, where buildings are, where utilities are, topo, et cetera, and then map out where our lease areas are, so we can tell kind of what's available, what's not, and then from there we'll be building a model of what kind of businesses and uses might go where, and then running some analytics on that. So taking some of the first steps to get some of the tools in place so that we can do that. And so looking at both the small yard as well as, you know, the shipyard, and probably be looking at shifting some things around. But first we have to get some tools in place, and we've got that underway. Anything you'd like to add to that, Greg?
Yeah, in a nutshell, you have to know what you have to offer before you can, you know, just start reaching out with the marketing plan or developing something that's pointed that develops business. So we're trying to really understand what is the capacity, what we have available, and then making sure that the information is, you know, everybody has kind of access to that information, is so that we have an understanding that actually going out in terms of really more organized plan to go get the business. So if you have a 40-foot slip or you have a small, you know, a small slip, let's say in the boatyard, that you can fit a boat into, versus you have to know exactly what you have to offer up and when. So we're looking at some of the business processes. I'm just trying to get my arms around, you know, what we currently, how we currently handle business, right? So I just start, you know, rolling out programs. I think that you know, we're going to start. We know that we have capacity that's sitting there that we can sell to, represent, and we know we can partner with the tenants and the customers to generate revenue for them as well. So it's a matter of putting together somewhat of an organized plan. You know, that's kind of where we're at right now.
Lately, I've been talking with some of the tenants and they occupy the small yard. And one common theme that I've been hearing is that they feel that the, one of the major significant impacts in the decline is the loss of the 20% discount after being you know, hauled out for a month, and that they feel they've lost some customers to other ports as a result of, you know, the that extra cost, you know, for late days. I asked if anybody could quantify that, and right. Really they couldn't, but it was just sort of a general consensus. You know, I don't know if...
I've heard the same.
Yeah.
You know, it's, again, it's like trying to, you know, you're trying to look at cause and effect.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to do, we're going to undertake great analysis. People are going to see and look at the methodology and transparency. You know, it's it isn't really a monopoly. I wouldn't characterize that we're a monopoly because there are just too many facilities. If you look at the customers, but you're trying to, based on real data, not just guesswork, you know, people could pick up a boat and they go to a different marina. And we know we've lost some boats to other facilities. So we're looking at how do we retain vessels? How do we build value? And what's reasonable to charge for it? And there's so many different approaches to that, so many different thoughts, but we're going to try to lay it out so that it is really organized and it's pretty transparent. And where we need to take this port and where we need to go is not going to be done simply through cranking up rates alone. It'll be one aspect of what we do, but we need to build business as much as anything and build value and partner with our customers and tenants, right? So... we're not interested in just cranking rates up here. I mean, that's just all of these things are kind of one component, but none of them are going to be the solution in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'd say what the thing that we're really concentrating on now is building some of that business management and analytical infrastructure, I'll call it. It is, you know, the bones of how you look at your data so that you can see trends across years. You can really look at what your full capacity is so that when you look at different scenarios for what a rate change might be, or what if we, you know, increased density here or brought in a different line of business, that we can run those scenarios pretty quickly. And so we're bringing online a couple different things internally to the organization that first is we're just building a whole lot of spreadsheets at this point. Our Excel documents are and those are things that once we get them in place, you know, we're kind of at that investment stage right now, really get a lot of things in place. Then we can use them to maintain and observe and really analyze how our business is doing. The other thing that we are bringing online is some project management tools. In particular, we've chosen some software, and we now have it with the leadership team, and there'll be some key members that will be using it of our line supervisors, things of both how we're tracking our tasks, tracking our project timelines, but then really how we're going to be setting our everything from our revenue goals to you know, what things that just physically need to get done. And so kind of bringing us out of the world of paper and pencil and into the world of online and collaborative sharing. And you know, these are some substantial steps for the organization to take, but we're bringing them in. And my new term is onboarding. That's what we're onboarding into some of these collaborative softwares. And I didn't make that up. That's what the software sellers calls it too. So we're bringing people in, getting them trained up in these tools so that we can really focus and you know, start to see the progress that we're making, and then we can report out pretty easily. So that brings to mind, we are also looking for tools that we can bring into this room so that we can have both you be able to, you know, see what we're doing online. Here's how we're tracking things, here's our reports, but then also be projecting out for members of the audience so they can and then of course they can be put in on our packets and things. So looking to get some on collaborative tools that will greatly aid our efficiency, I think, and greatly aid our analysis.
Gordon had a
celebrate project management. I used to be a project manager, program manager, so all of those tools are useful. However, for the people sitting on this side of the room, you know, who might not get all of that, I just recommend some simple, metrics.
Yep.
Like, if the yard were full, we'd be at 100%, and this is the revenue stream if we had this many boats in there. Same with the moorage. And then if you just had it in a, you know, as part of your agenda, we're now at 75%. Now we're at 67%. All of a sudden, we get a picture of what's going on without all the detail that you guys need to manage with. So it's just a thought, 2% of revenue. How, you know, what is a full more? If we had every slip full, that's a number we can calculate on a calculator. We'd know right away.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So what's our percentage of filled slips today? You know, and we could, and you could publish that number, and people would say, oh.
We don't publish that number? Is it not in the ones that go on the internet?
The ops report.
Yeah, the ops report. Is it in the docs that go on the website?
Wouldn't that be the best report? It might need some visual. Some visual to that instead of just a bunch of numbers.
Yeah, and that's exactly what we're looking for, and we're looking at, you know, in kind of our parlance as key performance indicators, and so they're basically our organizational goals and our budgetary goals and how they translate, and we are looking to establish those so then we can, monthly basis go, here's what we said we needed to do in order to meet budget, here's where we are.
Yeah, and I'm not asking everybody here to read Gantt charts either. I've done that a lot. It's not important. But if you had three numbers across the top of the agenda that just told everybody, this is our percent of revenue from Orange, and we'd all know that 100% would be all the slips full, then we'd know something.
Yep.
And that's just the kind of metric I'm looking for that would help us understand where we stand with budget and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Just a thought, anyways.
Okay, so any other port financial highlights? Okay, we seem to have already kind of segued into staff.
Can I ask one clarification on this sheet?
Sure.
Actually, two. One is the number of monthly permanent slips is 367, but then right below it, the number of slips by size, 25, blah, 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 298. And shouldn't those numbers match?
Uh, Are there some monthly perms on the linear dock? Is that where that discrepancy comes in?
This number slips by size.
Number slips by size, and you include over 52 feet as 7.
I think that where that is, that linear, the linear space, because that one is slips, and then but that's an actual physical thing. But the other one is permanent customers, and you can have a permanent mortgage on a linear.
Is the 367 the actual number of tenants?
Tenants. I'm doing exactly what Gordon had already done. I already built that. I started building out spreadsheets, working with them really simple, captures it empirically, and then I'm checking it rather than taking this report. So we've already converted it, and it'll actually kick this out going forward. We just don't have it yet. So I haven't really gone through, to be honest with you. I look at this, but it doesn't mean much to me until I look at the capacity, and then I gauge it accordingly, and then we actually allocate it, and I understand spatially what's going on. So I can't tell you exactly sitting here. It was an okay report. The problem is it's a written report, and I can't go back and look at them unless I'm going to go through a stack. Okay. So I just gave it up, and then we're just building out Excel spreadsheets and looking up something that will be simple, useful tools that everybody can look at that captures the business, just like Gordon was saying. So
okay.
I put them together. We're doing it, and then I'm going over it with the staff so they understand. And I'm understanding exactly the use, the capacity, the revenue.
Okay.
So I can't tell you really why that.
I mean, it doesn't make sense that those numbers should match.
But I think the takeaway is that we don't need to worry about it. We all realize the location.
So he's going to reconcile.
Right.
And the other thing is that the number of slips by size, I'm in a 42-foot slip, and I don't see any 42-foot slips in this list. It goes from 40 to 45.
Like I said, I just got to go ground truth it empirically, and I'm going through it methodically. You know, it's more of a programmatic approach than trying to troubleshoot. You know, I can look at that same thing. I go, what does this mean? And I just start getting into 100 questions instead of just saying we're just going to build it out systematically so that everybody has a simple, useful tool.
Can I make a quick suggestion? What if you put those 24 people on the waiting list for 25 temporarily into a 27 and you'd have 24 people paying stock rent?
Again,
financial highlights are finished. Now we're going to go to staff comments.
I attended a number of forums in the last couple weeks. The first was a couple members of the staff, including Greg and from Yard and Mortgage, the Northwest Maritime Trades Association, Marine Trades Association down in Bremerton. It is a great convening of people who are in the marina and boatyard business, and get report outs on everything from boat sales data to, what's happening with the phase out of copper bottom paint and et cetera. So a lot of common interest, able to meet a lot of great people and make connections. And I think in particular for our marina and yard staff that I know Terry has gotten an invitation to go visit some other boat yards and see if they can, discuss different operational challenges and things. So there continues to be a severe lack of rental units, particularly in both Port Townsend and the Tri-Area. The city conducted a survey and for estimating that there is a lack of, or a demand for at minimum 250 additional rental units, that if they were able to bring those online tomorrow that they would be filled up. And I think that is relevant to what we do, because as we look to create jobs here, there are some continuing barriers for a workforce being able to actually even get a place to live. So the city is looking at initiating some other, or taking on some initiatives like perhaps a community land trust, et cetera. I think it's worth our time to make sure that we're staying in touch with these issues, not necessarily take lead on them, but it certainly is relevant to the economic development that we try to do. Also attended the Northwest Straits Conference along with Commissioner Tucker this weekend, and get a very much crossover. The health of our marine environment and our fisheries are very much tied to the fate of our future, and challenging news there on a lot of different fronts. And perhaps I'll let Commissioner Tucker give some of his takeaways when you get to commission reports as well. Stormwater, we have, I told you last time we were in receipt of a draft plan. I have spoken with the Department of Ecology. Our original date was that we were going to submit it as of October 30th. I have informed them that we needed a little bit more time to do some additional work on that. And we've met with Parametrics. We are now kind of outlining our strategy for that small amount of additional work, and looking to have that completed and submitted to Ecology on December 2nd. So I will be communicating that to the Department of Ecology. They were amenable for us having kind of slipping that design report date. So we're not in arrears or anything at this point. I've kept them informed, and they knew that we might need some additional time to complete that report. I've also received a proposal from Team Jefferson at our request of providing additional services for business assistance and helping with the IDD, and I've not had a chance to review that yet, so I'll be able to report that out to you at a later date. I just received that in. The Warden Boat School, I think I informed you last time, has asked us to whether we'd be amenable to being the pass-through on a grant opportunity that they are pursuing, and Eric Taves is coordinating with them on that. They will be we'll bring that forward at a future. We thought that we might have it at this meeting, but there's not a deadline. It's a rolling application period, and so they are lining some of their other things up. At a future meeting, we'll have Betsy Davis. Thank you. She'll attend a meeting, and we'll let you know what that application looks like. I don't quite have a timeline for you on that. I think they're still arranging some things on their end. Yeah, I talked about we're instituting work planning and tracking and base maps. Commissioner Tucker, I think perhaps I'll leave it to you to talk about the draft sets that's out, so on that on your list. And then finally, I wanted to let you know that we are working on a narrative for the budget, and we'll have that available for both your review and the public's review by the packet for the 22nd goes out. And I think that narrative will give context to some of the initiatives that we are looking at, as well as some of the goals and how we're going to be approaching our next year. In particular, I think it can address things like we're putting a frame to the issue of coming up with a parking plan. That has, I found, has been quickly translated into that we are going to put parking meters out. And that is not the intention at all. And I can see how people can jump to that when they don't have a context for it. So we'll explain that. No, that's not what we're speaking of, that we are looking at a variety of measures, everything from perhaps having annual or monthly passes in some areas, designating some areas for mortgage tenants only, making sure that we have some free spaces available for both our marine trades, particularly smaller marine trades that aren't, don't necessarily have space next to business to be able to have clientele come down and meet with them, or people that want to visit a restaurant, or just come down to visit the marina. So we're planning on that. And that if we do any type of pay stations, they will be for, most likely those will be deployed down the landfall restaurant area. So, but we'll put some, there'll be some explanation of that in the budget narrative. I think that can answer some of the questions that have arisen. And I think that's it for me.
Great. So I've been reviewing some of the customer lease agreements, especially ones that are coming due, like imminent, that are pressing, with Eric as well as some other people. I'll let him go over some of the different agreements if he wants to look into it. But so I'm familiarizing myself with the agreements, which have to be read, basically reviewed. So it takes a little due diligence to be able to give meaningful input. I'm trying to reach out to as many tenants as I can. I'm guilty of what Gordon was brought up about the communication, but I'm trying to communicate back to a number of people. It is difficult to like cover all the customers and mortgage tenants in the first get up and go, and I don't really, especially if they have a tenant, at least trying to review the agreements before I reach out to them, so I really have some idea about what our relationship is, because this is pretty new to me. But I will be sensitive to responding to emails, communicating. We did, I'm looking over the, I reviewed the and toured the, a lot of facilities with Larry Ozzie and some with Eric as well. So as we review the agreements, then to actually go on premises, get familiar with them, history, and also confer with our tenants and customers about the status. So Larry and I, we basically were going over and looking at through a lot of things in terms of some of the business processes, what's current, and maybe where we might need to go to take it to the next level in terms of our professionalism. So, and I'm trying to link the maintenance plan that we're going to be developing with the capital plan too. So you have these assets, you understand the asset, and then here's what the capital plan is for it, and then that should partner up with a maintenance plan for these assets as well. So we're working on doing that. And we started off with like the fleet equipment, took an inventory, and then we just ran it out into when it needs to be replaced. And then that will link into also our operating expense and trying to control expenses going forward, right? So if some things get aged, all of a sudden you're just throwing a lot of money at them, and maybe it's better just to replace it, or you go without. So I'm also working on doing analyzing and doing some capacity planning, as well as linking it to revenue. So what's the potential revenue currently with just the status quo in terms of without changing rates, without doing anything? Here's our capacity. And then looking at, you know, what is what do we have of vacant capacity? So what do we really need to be trying to market to? What can we develop quickly, develop a lot more cash flow, as well as also what business actually brings business to the tenants, not just the port. So sometimes there's a collateral sale. You know, we might not make much, but the tenants and the customers and our partners, they make significant return on that customer. So you have to weigh those two things out a little bit. But I'm trying to get a, you know, basic common sense model of that. So I've already been working on Point Hudson primarily, as well as some of the moorage, and I'm working with Terry on the boatyard, for instance. Just started working on the rate analysis, and I'm trying to build a really simple framework, which isn't that easy when you talk about rates, but somewhat of a rate framework for us to go forward with in terms of analyzing it and then getting the information and working with the staff to be able to bring in and collate that information. It's not just us picking up the phone calling everybody, but trying to actually compare and then look at what we provide for value and what we don't have. And also linking that to how we can generate revenue, profitability, and margin, and also what that means in terms of our potential plan for the, how do we reinvest in the capital and how we prioritize capital planning. So it's kind of a holistic approach, but just going through a number of the business process and just learning what our current approach is, really even understanding actually what software we use in some of these instances. Some of it I'm familiar with competitive products, but not the existing products, so learning that. And then concurrently, I worked with Sue, and she was really super helpful just to make me up Pacific Marine Expo next week. Reached out and visited like the Shipwright Co-op, and other tenants that are going to be in attendance of with attending the expo, making sure we're trying to partner up a little bit. This year, I don't think we're going to get that much out of it. Frankly, it's just too quick for me to respond. And normally, we have kind of a whole marketing plan built around it that we have in advance, and we've already reached out to customers, and we're actually setting up, you know, meetings and partnering with them on key customers to track business in to fill obvious vacancy, right? So it's kind of, there's a lot to bite off. I'm also looking at the financials and making sure that we work with Abigail on how we analyze systematically our agreements going forward, and that there's some financial analysis that goes into that. It's standardized and it's pretty, it's not completely cookie cutter because the assumptions that go into the financial analysis, but really thinking about this as we go forward, that's the kind of thing, trying to develop those really fundamental tools, but some of them we don't have in place.
Well, very brief updates. Number one, we have sent application packets to pre-qualify prospective bidders for the John Cobb. We have a deadline of the close of business on November 22nd for prospective bidders to provide their requested information so that we can review conduct background and credit checks and pre-qualify prospective bidders. That period is going to take roughly until probably about the end of the month on the 30th of November to complete our review after having received the application submittals. And then we would be inviting bids on December the 2nd with a closing period of the end of business somewhat unfortunately on December 7th, a day that hopefully will not leave an impact. Then we would be announcing the winning bid on Thursday, December 8th. So we think we've outlined a really solid process to ensure that we have carefully vetted prospective applicants and ensure that this vessel doesn't become a charge on another public entity or left abandoned or derelict in waters of the state. And we have a number of parties that appear to have both the wherewithal and know-how from a practical standpoint as well as the economic capability to pull off this project. And then just a brief follow-up as well on a lease that came before you for first reading some time ago. That's the U.S. Coast Guard lease. Been working with Greg on that to try and we have crafted and proffered a counterproposal to the U.S. Coast Guard that, if successful, I think would represent a really kind of solid basis for us going forward and a real good model for us to follow in future to ensure that not only are we getting adequate rent, but we're planning and anticipating for future repair, rehabilitation of capital infrastructure. So we're waiting to hear back from the Coast Guard on that and are hopeful that we may have something to bring back to you as soon as December 22nd. And other than that, just...
So when you say capital infrastructure, you're referring to just in regard to the Coast Guard?
In regard to that lease in particular, and to use that as a model going forward as well, so that we're attempting to capture the ongoing port expense of repair and maintenance of infrastructure within the lease rate itself. Mm-hmm. So we'll hopefully bring that back to you at your second meeting this month, and then having a good time working with Greg on reviewing a lot of leases and happy that he's hasn't suffered from PTSD yet, or he's weathering the shell shock pretty effectively.
Thank you.
Okay.
Matt?
Only that it appears we need some time this afternoon for an executive session. No final actions going. No, George, can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, executive session, no final action will be taken.
This is just a
it's a legal matter. Usually you do this.
And just to be clear, it's potential.
Yeah, it's, that's what I said, potential, but no action will be, no final action will be taken. So I'm thinking, what, 15 minutes, 20?
20 minutes.
Yeah. And if we need more time, we'll come out and say. I always say 15, and it always runs on me. So we'll say 20. Okay, that's it.
Abigail, anything to add?
Yeah. Well, coming up this Monday, we have the State Auditor's Office coming in for our audit that we have every 2 years. They do a financial statement audit and an accountability audit. Financial statements will be audited for 2014 and 15. And then the accountability audit, they'll basically, after they do their planning, which takes anywhere from 1 to 2 weeks, they'll determine what areas they want to look at, maybe based on what laws or policies, you know, whatever they appear, they think is high risk. Typical, for instance, is cash receipting. That's a real high risk area that's often looked at this location. So they're going to start the 14th. We'll have a couple auditors here for most of the time, and they plan to be finished before Christmas. So I would anticipate as early as the 22nd, but definitely by the 14th, they'll do a entrance meeting with the commission, so it'll probably be an open meeting. Do you have any questions on that? Well,
2 years ago, you were the one doing the audit.
I know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can't wait till I get here. So, and then also I just wanted to add, I think Sam kind of alluded to this, we've been looking at putting microphones in here for the commission meetings, and we met with a company earlier this week who offered the full meal deal, which was something the county's done. It includes cameras and audio equipment, and I don't think we're going to go that route, but I wanted to find out all the different options that are available and things to consider, I think we're going to be able to go with a much less expensive option to the port that will allow better amplification of the meetings as well as recordings, because we've had problems and are hoping to get that done before the end of the year.
Good.
Thank you.
Sue?
I'll just add that stormwater drainage ditch bids for the airport are due today, and the bid opening is at 3:30, and I believe we're anticipating one in the middle.
Okay, thank you. Okay, public comments. Any other public comments?
I had one,
Jim,
regarding the yard, and that is that we pulled out two boats three times in the last 2 months, and your yard guys are great. They're professional, they're friendly, and I say what a good experience it was.
Thank you, Jim. Okay, commissioner comments. Do you have any commissioner comments?
Just a question, how far along are you with the permits, the core permits for the fixing the breakwater here in Boat Haven?
So the Eelgrass survey has been completed and submitted to the Corps. They have informed us that they will put us on a expedited review of that. However, there is still a need for consultation with the other federal services, that would be U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and National Marine Fisheries Services. And they have not told us an exact date. They did say be expedited. So. Everything they have, everything they need at this point to review, and we have all the other permits in place except for the port permission. So we have notified the successful bidder that we are awaiting the issuance of that permit, and then we have a timeline for them to be able to, once we give them notice to proceed, for them to begin work, and then a very short time frame for them to actually finish the work on. So they're on standby. We're in contact with them, letting them know that they're waiting for that permit.
So what is their boat time? I mean, once they get the go ahead.
I think we gave them 10 days to mow and then 30 days to work. I'm not 100%. I don't have the contract on front of me, but it was pretty quick. And they might do it sooner than then. Again, they're kind of on standby. They know we're hanging out here in the wing, so waiting for the Corps.
Okay, that's all I have.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's see. I went to the Northwest Straits Conference, and Sam said there was a lot going on. The normal things that you find at the Northwest Straits Conferences are the health of things like eelgrass and Olympia oysters and kelp beds and so forth. We've been doing some remarkable things with repopulating Olympia oysters in various places like Wilsine Bay and Discovery Bay. One thing that was new to me that I hadn't really thought about but I think we're going to be hearing a lot more of is a movie that we saw called Sonic Sea. We had some professors, some scientists there, one from Canada and one from the United States, talking about the effects of sonar and of propulsion systems on mammals that have eardrums and how it completely disorients them and can actually, at certain decibel levels, cause bleeding. I showed some pictures of porpoises coming up with their inner ears all hemorrhaged. And it's something that we need to, that we're going to start looking at around here. It's just kind of the newest thing for us to put in our bag of worries when we think about our local environment. But at least we have some really good people working on it and starting to get the word out and some awareness up. I thought about Karen when I saw that movie. At the MRSC, it's amazing. MRSC, we had a meeting here and we talked about derelict boats. We've had some issues with, well, we had a aluminum boat smash itself to pieces on the rocks down there. And I had some constituents ask me why we didn't remove the boat because it was smashing itself on the rocks near the maintenance shop. Well, it's really complicated. And the reason it's complicated is because the port, that's not the port's land, even though it's near the maintenance shop. The land on one side of this little point belongs to the mill, and the other side it belongs to DNR, and who you, where it is determines who you call, and it was ended up being there for a month and completely destroying itself and completely making havoc in our eelgrass bed that we spent so much time protecting that the Marine Resources group is going to take it upon themselves to clarify and make an easily understood protocol is what do you do when you find an abandoned boat or a boat that's come off of its anchor? Is there anything we can do proactively? And so it's going to, it was really difficult to assess. We're going to make it a priority to make it not difficult and then publish a way to get that accomplished. And let's see, on the NRDC, that's right. That's many acronyms in my head. On the NRDC, we're finishing up our SEDS. SEDS means community
economic
development strategy. That's important in that if we want to be going out for federal funding for grants, if we have the fact that we're looking at various projects in the SEDS, then there's a much better chance of us obtaining grant funding. And so they just finished that up. And we got our project list in, right?
Yes, we did.
And so we're going to be in there. So should opportunities arrive for federal funding, we can direct the federal grant funders to the SEDS and say, see, we wanted it all along. So many things happened the last couple of weeks, and that's about it for me.
Steve, I have something to add.
Okay.
Forgot to mention about the audio work we're looking at. We're going to do a test at the 12-14 commission meeting to test the equipment.
12-14. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you should be here, George. You can be our guinea pig. What? We're going to do a test on our new audio equipment on the 14th.
Thank you.
And you can be here and let us know if it's working.
Certainly.
Okie dokie. Let's see. Our next regular meeting will be... Actually, it's not a regular meeting.
It is a regular meeting because we set it the first of the year in our meeting policies and procedures.
Okay. But our next regular meeting will be a public hearing. Okay, so our next regular meeting, right, will be the public hearing?
The public hearing is actually closed. It will be your deliberations. So
it'll be the deliberations.
Yes, so it's a regular meeting. It is on the Tuesday before Thanksgiving, however, so not the Wednesday.
Okay. That will be on November the 22nd.
Yes.
Okay.
At 1 p.m.
At 1 o'clock. Now, that's important to know because normally the second meetings of the month are in the evening. This one's going to be at 1 o'clock. And so now we're going to adjourn into an executive session.